beginning with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God's word for our consideration today. Please be seated. You know, during Advent, there are some things that we accept by tradition, and there are some things that we never question. And I think the Advent season is also a time that we need to ask ourselves, what is Advent really about? Well, for some people, they would say that Advent is a time of happiness and family fun. Some people would say that Advent is a time to decorate the Christmas tree, the anticipation of children as they can't wait to open those presents. Perhaps for some of you, it's the pleasant smell of those special Christmas cookies. For others, it might be gathering that glittering collection of Christmas cards. And for some of us, it's the beautiful sound of all those Christmas carols. Yes, Advent is all of this. But let's also remember that Advent is more than those things. And during this season, I think there's a great need for each one of us to take time to pause and to reflect. What is Advent about anyway? I'd like us to briefly consider this morning just three questions. First of all, how do unbelievers define Advent? You know, unbelieving historians, they've tried and they've tried to banish the story of Bethlehem's stable from world history. They teach a pleasure-loving generation that nothing really happened back there in Bethlehem that was spiritually significant. But yet these same secular historians can never satisfactorily explain the power of Jesus' life. Jesus Christ, a person who was born in rather lowly circumstances. Jesus, who spent his time among what we would call today the low-income bracket sinistry. Jesus, who never attended a school of higher education. Jesus, a man who never tried to run for a political office. Jesus, a person who never distinguished himself in the field of combat. Yes, Jesus Christ was a transient lay preacher. He never had a pulpit that he could call his own. And he had this uncanny knack of rubbing leaders in his contemporary society the wrong way, of even incurring their wrath. And we know that Jesus died after 3 short years of ministry as a result of a fair trial, right? No. It was a mock trial. And he was tried and based on false charges. And then Jesus died the death of a common criminal on that cross between 2 thieves. But yet, this world has never, never been the same since Jesus' birth. I know that we especially notice the light of the stars on a very clear, cloudless night. However, the stars that we can see on those clear nights are always burning all the time, but we can only see them on those clear nights when darkness is around. You know, Christians can be unhindered lights to a generation of people, it seems today, that would prefer darkness. But in order to get us to shine, God many times allows situations in which we have to choose to reflect His will, His perspective, His viewpoint. And each one of us committed to Christ can provide light to what the Bible describes as a crooked and perverse generation. Jesus came that first time to be a light to a world darkened by sin. Now, for the average unbelieving person, Advent is his or her frantic search for that suitable last-minute Christmas gift for family and friends. And maybe in the frustration of all of it, they might even remark in the words of Scrooge, "Bah, humbug." Chances are that an unbeliever only sees the commercialization of this season and would probably deny the truth of the virgin birth of Christ in the Christmas story, declaring it to be nothing as someone's figment of their imagination. He or she, the unbeliever, they might be, say they believe in God, but be in practice an atheist, and maybe they have a poorly defined faith. And many unbelievers in our modern sophisticated day seemingly take pride in denying that miracle that occurred in Bethlehem's stable. And yet their denial will never change that glorious truth after many centuries. Second, let's briefly consider, how does the Bible define Advent? The Bible, which every Christian believer rightly accepts as the revealed and inspired Word of God, speaks plainly about the significance of this season. It tells us first that Advent is an expression of God's love. God so loved the world, John 3:16. God set the example of giving for those who did not deserve His gift. God gave to people who didn't even have the ability to reciprocate. And thus Christians during Advent can give gifts to those who need, who are in need, maybe even to people that don't even deserve such gifts, and we can give to people who can never reciprocate. Advent is also a celebration of what God did. God gave His only begotten Son to come to earth to reveal that God is a God of love and not simply a God of righteous indignation. Now, there are many people today in America and other places in the world who will say that Jesus did exist in history. Jesus was a good man. But Jesus wasn't any more the Son of God than you or I are sons or daughters of God. And people who have that opinion, I can only say that their opinion indicates that they have never had a spiritually transforming experience with Jesus Christ, that baby born in Bethlehem. Because when a person has had a transforming experience with Christ, he or she knows what God's power has done for him and is therefore able to recognize Jesus as the Son of the living God and to recognize that Jesus Christ is very God and also man, both divine and human. And thus he or she can recognize that God is able to identify with every one of our needs in this way. Advent is also God's purpose in redemption. Again, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Advent is the fulfillment of God's plan for the ages to step into the pages of human history, to set in motion His plan for saving sinful people who were totally, totally unable to save themselves. God did, and God today identifies Himself with human misery, causing Himself to be available to all of us who are tempted like as we are, according to Hebrews 4:15. And of course, the glorious completion of God's plan of redemption that was set in motion in Bethlehem was found when Jesus suffered and died on the cross. A third question for us to consider this morning is, how do you, as an individual, define Advent? And I think most pertinent to the issue is the last question, which I hope will strike home to each one of us this morning. You know, it's very easy for us to go around picking out flaws in the life or the theology of other people. But it's very hard for us to look inward and be objective about ourselves. How do we, as individuals, define the significance of that event in Bethlehem's stable that occurred over 2,000 years ago? What about our hearts this morning? Is Advent a time for a solemn review in your heart and your mind of what the coming of that baby in Bethlehem's stable means to you? Of how your faith in Jesus Christ has given you a new life perspective and hope of eternity. Sometimes, especially at this season of the year, there are so many people that we say we feel sorry for. But I think it's important not just to feel sorry for people, but to what extent are we praying for those people, especially for people that are denying that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. These people who have no hope. How deep and abiding is our faith in the babe of Bethlehem stable? How have we been born again from above in our hearts? And what about our lives during Advent? How has the truth of Advent, Jesus' first coming to this earth, changed how we live day to day? Have we placed our faith in Christ to the extent that He has made a difference? And even when we are suffering, and there are many, many people, not just in our congregation who are suffering this morning, but people who are suffering around the world. Even when we are suffering, can we, in spite of our suffering, reveal that the babe of Bethlehem has been born not only into the world, but also into our hearts by the way our attitudes demonstrate what it means to have the mind of Christ? This week, before Christmas Day, may we so conduct ourselves that everyone who encounters us may see revealed in our hearts and lives the glorious truth that the true definition of Advent is that it is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was truly God's divine Son coming down from heaven to earth to seek and to save those who were lost. I invite you to pull out your prayer insert at this time.